All right, very good. I've been reading a lot of just not, you know, concentrated focus, just here and there reading on William Irwin Thompson. Are you out of the Croker quadrant yet? Are you back into are you into Thompson now? Is that where you're finishing up? Or
well,
did you finish?
I did LaRouche for a few months. Read, I don't know, 11 books. Now I'm doing a couple of Thompson books and finding it surprising how much he thinks through Ionic issues all the time. The questions that Ion's language brings up, I wonder if I could find some examples. What part of Thompson are you reading? What books or whatever?
Well, I've just been getting to know him, per se, like Googling around, and I did find an interesting article that was a review of his work that kind of gave me an overview of kind of his thoughts and his history, where he went with different things. But I was interested specifically because I started, remember how you put that quote on there that Ion had said, and it had that phrase, noetic polities.
And so
I really wanted to understand what that meant. And so I found an article that
was
written. What it says, I'll read it to you. Hold on just a second. It says, I guess he had a, the thing was, he also had a thing called Gaia, A Way of Knowing. Do you know about that?
Yeah, I have that book. Yeah.
The Political Implications of the New Biology.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I thought that was really kind of cool that he was, you know, going for that. And then,
well, what is that? That doesn't tell me anything. What is that he's going for?
Oh, the he is in the Political Implications of the New Biology. I haven't read it, but I'm going to. But it is about the a political emphasis of what will happen in the transformation of the Earth, how it's going to, you know, change things, and how it's going to affect different ideological systems, how it's going to affect different consciousness systems and that kind of thing. I have not read that specifically, so I can't go into great detail on it. But let me find this statement. Hold on. Oh, there we go. All right, this is the statement. Now, again, this isn't Thompson's words. This is this gentleman who wrote this article, and this is what it says. There is a hope for rapid and thoroughgoing cultural transformations more possible than ever because we presently live in a, quote, noetic polity, unquote, based on the continuous exchange of ideas and instantaneous flow of information crisscrossing the entire planet. We must finally bring the freedom of our imagination to bear on what the shape of things to come may yet turn out to be, because only the imagination is really big enough and wild enough to entertain the unthinkable possibilities beyond the ideas and information that currently rule and define our world. Who would have thought that the Soviet Union would disappear in 1991 from the perspective of 1981? From the perspective of 1961, who would have thought that man would successfully land on the moon by 1969? And from a more mundane and parochial New York point of view, that the underdog Jets and Mets would win sports championships in the very same year. History is full of events that were wildly regarded as...
Now, this is all Thompson. This is all Thompson.
If he's, no, I'm telling you, remember I said it's not his writing. This is a gentleman writing about what he came to consider... This is what he's saying, Thompson is saying. This noetic polity is based on a continuous exchange of ideas and instantaneous flow of information. Okay? And it says, history is full of events that were widely regarded as being not even remotely possible shortly before they actually happen. And so we can imagine that the future may hold still more incredible surprises well beyond the horizon of what we now think is reasonably probable. And this statement from this article, which I can send you, is... a review of the Gaian Politics of Lindisfarne's William Irwin Thompson's, you know, retreat and thought center. And it's written by this guy by the name of Ralph Peters. But when I read that, Bob, what it made me, think of is I immediately understood what the, noetic polities were. And, then the other thing that I thought was, cool about reading it was that It reminded me of your Cold Fusion series where, you know, you tell everybody you have to upgrade your imagination.
Yeah.
And it really, you know, puts a mind in, you know, this kind of gray space of I-andom of how much is, you know, fact, and how much of it is imagination, what Ion has referred to before as the infinite impossibilities that are possible, you know,
right.
This idea, this noetic polity, that you have to, and I like what it says, we must bring the freedom of our imagination to bear on what the shape of things to come may yet turn out to be, because only the imagination is really big enough and wild enough to entertain the unthinkable possibilities beyond the ideas and information that currently rule and define our world. And that's what Ion does, is they constantly present these unthinkable probabilities and, you know, the whole entire process of ascension is a, you know, an isness and an arness, you know, just an amazing spectrum of possibilities, probabilities, and impossibilities that could, in fact, occur, and that nothing should be ruled out. You know, what is possible for those who, first of all, you know, accept the idea that they are not only just accept, embrace, but actually implement in their world and rigorously, rigorously implement the idea that they are a god and not a god as in a deity, as in a textual sacred text kind of way, but that they're a sovereign creator of their multiverse and the universe in which they dwell. And then that they have mastery over their own, their life, even to the point of their cellular life. And, I was thinking this whole electron ionization of slack. I did not know, and I don't know if you know this, Bob, but, do you know that not one bit of the food that we put on our plate can actually be eaten by our body? Do you know that the food actually has to be consumed by the bacteria, or it has to be broken down by the bile, and it has to be turned into liver? I mean, it has to be turned into sugar or fat that is then sent to the liver, and the mitochondria actually eat the food, and they don't even eat the food. They eat the electrons.
Mm.
And we are, I mean, if you think about this from like I was thinking about this yesterday, I almost felt like I was stoned. It was like, here's our life that is so amazingly rich, and we are actually cells that are sustained by mitochondria that consume electrons. That's what we are. I mean, Ion said this before. We are subatomic particles. We are, you know, protons, neutrons, and
electrons,
you know, all in this configuration. But we're not even engaged. It's the mitochondria that feed the human cell and the bacteria that feed the human gut and body and everything. I mean, we are such an incredible, amazing biology just in our meat sack. And then to think that we're a microcosm of the macrocosm of the earth and so on, and then the universe and so on and this and that. But because of thought, which apparently nothing else around us is really doing, we are unique, and that is the physicality of who we are is our status, our ascended status, our God quality. I just think that people who can really embrace this and then begin to charge into the next level, which is, like you said, you know, I can eat Saturn. I was there when everything was created. You know, your whole rap about everything that you do, and then all the dimensions that you've been in, and even having alternate existences with different personalities that you've developed. I mean, this is the work, and that's why, you know, you can say, I think I heard you say on this most recent reviewing of that great discussion with Roxy and Bird and everybody right before you came out and played the music this morning, you know, I'm the only one who can really say that they're ascended. Yeah, maybe.
Did I say
I mean,
that?
Maybe I can too. Yeah, you said that in this tape. Because you said of this one thing that you just said, you said it's ridiculous what I say. You know, I constantly say, I know what this is, I know what that is, blah, blah, blah. But that's not the point. The point is that I'm saying it. The point is that I can grasp the enormity of what I really am. And when you think of that this is the complexity of who we are, that we have designed ourselves, the intelligence that we are, that we have designed ourselves in such a way that we are just here to consume, be part of the electron universe, you know, this whole grand scheme. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't intrigue me in that sense. You described something about our electrons. No, when I eat an apple, I'm eating something that tastes like an apple. And that's what I'm into. I'm not thinking about the electrons. Or the electrons.
Understand. But see, what's so cool about this is that's the God part right there. That is, tactility is the God being. That is the part. You're not thinking about the electrons. Absolutely. That's what the biology is thinking of. What you're thinking about is the tactility of the apple. And to think that as a God, I created this whole scene just so I could know and experience an apple is fucking amazing. And if I can do that, I mean, if I can just create mitochondria to feed cells to consume electrons so that I can have physical form and be animated by all of life, which is electrons, there's nothing that does not have an electron, is what I understand, that you can actually, just so I could smell a flower or eat an apple, I mean, that's extraordinary. And as Ion said, you have paradise and then you kiss it goodbye because you get caught up in the cares of life and everything, but a part of the ascension process, Ion's great gift to us, is that we stop paying attention to all that, and we do start to enjoy life.
Where did science begin? Who are these people who want to find out how things work, and then they want to meddle with it? That's the big fallacy of science. Now, people could say, well, if we didn't meddle with it, we wouldn't be you wouldn't be in your lovely house with your internet and all that. That's true, I guess. But,
well, I don't know. To me, there's an ethical construct between meddling with it could be GMOing and cloning, and creation could be your house. I mean, I don't know that. I don't know that taking a nail and a hammer and putting it against a board to build a box is an intrusion on the natural order of things.
No, I don't mean that.
Okay.
I'm not talking about intrusions. I'm just saying what knowledge is relevant to me, especially now that I'm doing stuff that Ion is recommending. Is there anybody's... there's drug companies out there making drugs to do something in my body for some perceived problem. And why would I even accept that there's a problem? Why would I listen to anybody? Why is everybody listening to everybody else to find out something that's going to just meddle with you? I don't know, it's amazing how people, these kids, your Greg's kids, they're going to school, they're going to become a biologist or an architect, and they think they have the right to go and do something and then meddle with me. And so we tell them what Ion says, and they say, well, yes, but my professor says that's not the case, and we're going to do this, and we wouldn't do that. We'd never bring in the RNA drops for our chimneys or something. Where do people get this idea that they can meddle with everything?
Well, it doesn't even matter where they got the idea from, because this is the diversity of the truly embracing that everybody here is a god, and they can create whatever they want. They want to meddle with it, that's fine, but it doesn't have to rub up against you, and it's none of your business, and you don't care because you're overeating Lapras ice cream talking to Ion, which is what your joy is. So what does it matter? You know, that people who intersect and intervene in that world, and by the way, as a god, you would never limit yourself either. I was thinking the other day, one of the things that the Bible says is that no deadly thing will come upon you, that you can pick up serpents and eat whatever you want. You know, Jesus was always having to confront the food thing because of the Jews. They thought food was unclean. That's 2,000 years old. You know, as a God, you don't have to be limited by anything. You can go in right now and get a full rash of chemotherapy, and that's up to you. You won't want to limit yourself. Pay your dollar, take your chances. Have fun with it, you know.
Why would anybody study anything today? What do your kids think they're accomplishing by going to university?
Well, because there's a level of urgency and insistence, and just like you have, Bob, you're demanding that people study your work, your chart.
No.
It's also the law, right?
When they ask me what I'm about, they want me to assert myself, so I make up a statement. I say, oh, yes, you study my stuff.
Right, exactly. But really, at the end of the day,
get away from them.
So you're saying that you don't care that anybody studies your stuff?
No, it's never helped anybody. I don't even know if it's helped me, but I have helped people. I have helped people by having something to say.
You see, there you go. Okay,
you,
very
that's
good.
All we have to do. You know, okay. If you're not very good at answering people when they address you, that's when tension starts, and they wonder why you can't talk, and then you wonder why they think you have to talk and all this. So I've come up with great stuff to say when I'm asked to say something.
I see.
But,
okay, very good.
It doesn't, and I don't ask people too much about what they're doing because it doesn't seem relevant to anything. They're just creating nuisances for themselves. They got a car, and they got to take care of the car, and they got to have a job to look after the car, and they drive to places. What? Like Christoph. I don't know if he's back on yet, but Christoph is studying neuroscience. Where do you think it's going to go? It's only going to get him a job, which will be hell within a year. Okay? Who wants to do the same thing every day? And anything they come up with can't top us. So, you know, I'm sitting here with the answers to everything and watching the world go by and ignoring it. Except for a few
lucky
people.
Yes, Bob, but you're very happy that there are people who want to get up every single day and do the same thing because we got a warehouse full of them. And if they weren't there doing that, you know, you're watching the world go by might look a little different. So, you know, there is a place for everything in the order of things, and you're happy to have that in your experience. You just don't have any direct daily contact with it. And I just don't think it's, you know, beneficial to worry about it. You know, who cares what they want to do? They want to get up every day and do that. We have people right now in our warehouse who are willing to do what they're doing for 30 years. They get great satisfaction from it. They can't think of anything else they'd rather do.
Well, that's what I'm saying, that our stuff is the only thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, not everybody's working in our warehouse, so what are the common people going to do? What is that, the Marie Antoinette
position? Well, that's what I think about. I think about what these people are going to do once we've solved all their problems. But, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to try, well, they're going to, I just was reading old notes, and Ion said the original alchemy, the original traditional alchemy was evoking Ion. And so people will start saying, well, I'm going to do what Bob did. And I don't know how they'll attempt it, I don't know what they would do, but the crisis of those that have can't do anything worthwhile. I mean, Carol, everybody out of business.
Being participating in Ion Dim, whatever way you're participating, is worthwhile. So that's the first cut. And the second cut is that once you take away and solve everybody's problems, they're going to do what we all do, which is go to the beach. And the third cut is that for the people who are just discovering it, like the guy who's studying neurology or whatever, neuroscience or whatever, they're going to do what the first wave did, which you already know and you already have an example of, which is we all came in with our brilliant ideas of what was important and how to proceed, and we all just dropped them one by one.
Yes. So I don't know if you're getting, you got four testimonials the last few days, which are pretty amazing, and two of the people want to get on the roof and yell and scream. So it'll be fun when more people do that to, you know, celebrate. Well, they identified as Carolyn's work, or you. They say, you know, we'll celebrate Carolyn and Ginny and get on the rooftops. It's going to be fun if that keeps spreading.
I think it already does spread because that's how we have everything that we have so far, because we don't do any advertising.
Yeah.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes, that's Bart.
Okay, good.
You want to say something? You want to
take on Ginny's
point?
Hi, Bartley.
Hi, Ginny.
Yes, that I remember you made a statement, Bob, actually a while ago, that it would be great to have like the healthcare industry just go bankrupt because nobody's showing up anymore for their appointments or their checkups.
Yes. Wouldn't that put a lot of people out of work, a lot of labs? And would the labs say, look at our stuff, Ginny writes up a little report, and they analyze, and they go, well, they're not dealing with the telomeres. So, okay, guys, let's research the telomeres. And they'll start meddling with the telomeres and come up with some ridiculous stuff when all they have to do is talk to Ion. You know, this is what I find it interesting, how people don't want to think that they just have to talk to Ion. They think, well, that's Ion has some interesting ideas, but I'm going to go to university and I'm going to work in my lab and I'm going to do this and that and I'll come up with something. And that's being shown to be silly.
Didn't you also say something like, those people are going to be chasing that stuff for a thousand years.
Yeah. Ion said, yeah, they'll be doing their individual fragmented separate selves, working out some knowledge system, and I guess ignoring Carolyn's results.
Yeah.
So, Ginny, this idea that, you know, people will be just go on doing their thing. Reality isn't like that. Reality is going to press on people. They're going to have to deal with us.
Oh, Bob, I don't question that, but I mean, I'm just saying, you know, look, it pressed on me, and I, you know, made my choices, I made my moves, I did my thing, and in the initial pressing, you know, of all that, there were certain things, like I said, that I still had in my mind, like we talked, you know, a week ago or something about the idea of doing the whole theater performance. And eventually, the idea subsided and took its natural form, which is that we're already in a theater. I think that all I'm saying is these people who want to study, I'm not taking anything away from what Austin's doing or Savannah or anybody, because
well,
they're in their own sovereign state.
Everybody's perverse. Austin listens, or anybody else listens to this, and they go, well, that's an interesting guy, that Ion. Bob's a little strange. Carol, well, she's obviously talented, but I'm going to go study geology. And they're going to do that for another reason. They're under this pressure to get a job. That's why they're doing whatever they're doing. Is that that's a simple point.
Well,
they're studying
yeah, Bob,
this and that.
Well, that, but nobody has been liberated from the demand of the economic, and as you are suggesting will happen with cold fusion or other technologies, people haven't been liberated from that yet. So, yeah, they are going to respond to that. That's survival 101, and that has not changed either. The epic reset of the epigenetic impulse for humanity to survive economically has not changed. It will, but it hasn't yet. And so until that signal, because it's all new information coming in, right? It's the new information coming in through the RNA drops being delivered to chromosome 14 that's delivering a new response. And until epigenetically that ding, 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 that cell, whatever that response, you know, cell is, that signal hits a different timber, it's not going to change.
Did you hear Bert's testimony?
We're here.
Yeah, just let me say this. Did you hear Bert's testimony about what happened to his gums? They grew up just by putting Renu on them. And he's shocked. So the nurse was shocked and kept trying to unprove it. So he watched this person kind of having a little mini identity crisis with the fact that it got fixed. Now, she'll keep working on figuring out what Bart did and how it was an accident, so that she can keep thinking her way. And it sounds like Ion saying that, and maybe Trump's an expression of this, is that there's something going to pressure on people that their thinking won't be allowed to be continued.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I believe that, but, you know, if you had four or five Bert showing up in her office one day, it would be different than one Bert. Bert, at this point, is just a one-off. 10 Berts in a day, that's different. And that's what the whole point about sharing the testimonials. We get testimonials every day. We don't get three testimonials like that every day. Though the first one, Roman's testimonial came in after the Monday night call. You know, Roman was on the phone. He already said that, and he typed it all out, and that was sweet. But we got those three testimonials in one day. Now, you had three the ones I sent you. Those three people show up in the doctor's office that way, then that is the force. So that's the tipping point, or, you know, whatever they call that, when you get to the 100th monkey. That effect is not yet fully been realized. But when it does, then you're right. Then people are going to be forced to change.
Yeah.
That's what happened on the rewrite. We had a very small microcosm of people on the rewrite that were, you know, installed in this information and challenged to think about themselves as creators and changing the weather and the winds are blowing and Fukushima's happening and this and that and your cells are changing and these things are happening and you're the ones who's creating them and you're in charge and you're creating earthquakes and this. And then all of a sudden we stepped out of there and went, hey, y'all, this is what I'm doing, you know. And that's just a beginning place of what is going to continue to happen. And it happens now on payday because it's gotten larger. And now this is the microcosm, and then it'll just keep going, going, going. And then it radiates out into the world through the formulas. And it's happening on social media through testimonials. And it's just going to continue to build. And then you're right, they're going to have to give in.
Well, the Information Society allows everybody to explore information. That's the biggest value. They value people going back to university or taking courses, sitting in classrooms. That big bias is the fundamentalism of North America, is learning.
But the great thing about IONDM, though, is to consider the possibilities, that, because everything that ION says is just so fabulous and wonderful. It's like, you know, here's this woman who's a dental nurse, and she's looking into the pit of hell every single day because people's mouths are just disgusting. And
she's seeing
the shit that happens in there. And here comes Bert, Mr. Ascended Being, with these gums that have been radically transformed by Renew. And she's, like, staring at this resurrection situation compared to what she looks at every day, all these dead mouths and decay and rot and everything. And, you know, in the mind, if she were to just even be able to just start the question, what if? Because that's, you know, the way to make the mind shift in part is, what if this is true? What if the body can actually repair itself? What if there is no decay, decline, or disease? What if? What if? What if? And that's the beginning of what we did. So I think that, you know, as people are presented with ION's possibilities are wonderful. Because it's like, wow, what if I could live with that? Well, wow, what if I had unlimited resource? Wow, what if RNA drops were the new currency? Well, then I'm rich as fuck. Wow. I mean, this is like, wow. Everything's a wow, you know, and you just keep
like
going
Trump
with
does that.
That
too. Trump starts off his performances with, wow, 27,000 people. who would have said this? Why is this happening? Wow. And then he says, we got a movement. Did you see the new, well, like, if anybody,
I love that article in the New York Times that you posted about Trump
Journal.
And Sanders. Yeah, the Wall Street Journal.
The minimalism.
Yeah.
Their minimalism.
Yes, I thought it was fantastic.
And then, but I can't get any more. You have to pay for it after a certain point of time, unless somebody has it, copied it all. But that was an interesting. And of course, the guy had to rely on McLuhan to make sense of it.
Yeah, I thought that was great. And the article basically said that the appeal with Trump and Sanders, everybody else who was on the Republican platform is a policy wonk, and even Hillary is a policy wonk, and they're trying to impress the American people with all their policy and their detail and their structure. And the American people are over it. They can't take in another bite of data. They don't want that. They want the minimalist. They just want somebody who's got... And this is what's going for Bernie right now, and this is what's going for the Donald, is this unlimited energy to just look like they can sustain the course, because Obama's tired as fuck. And they're just like, here's somebody who's just still showing up fresh every day, not disgusted, not fed up, not everything. And they're like, good. Then they think they're going to do something fine. We'll take him. And they don't even care. And it's just all about the wow. You know, like you said, the minimalist. Give me the least amount of information I need, and you're good. Yeah,
it's like everybody's collectively part of the collective consciousness now, so there's not much to be said. Just fix it. And why? There's no reasons not to fix it. And,
well, we don't even care if you fix it.
Well, they might.
Well, like, can it be fixed? You know, can it be fixed?
Yeah.
Maybe there's
an exhaustion.
Yeah.
And they say that Trump and them will have to get smart once they become president. They're going to have to deal with the horrible gridlock. But the people don't seem to be responding to that. They just say, yes, put someone in there who's not following any party line. Totally independent,
right,
and not part of the Washington establishment.
And maybe, you know, they put Trump in there, and maybe he won't, maybe they won't end up dealing with the gridlock, because it's just so, incorrigible that there is no dealing with it. So what, you just build something on top of it, or you go around it, or maybe he just does what he does. We have a four-year, you know, reality TV show of the presidency, and people really start to realize how ineffectual it is, and Bob's taken over.
Right.
Well, and Ayan said he's not addressing the debt either, which is now so far into the trillions that it's not even reachable. That's part of the that's kind of what I was referring to when I said that people don't care if it's fixed or not, or they don't think it can be fixed. There's kind of like a detachment of some sort,
or a super involvement. All these people are emotionally investing in somebody. Why do they think that's going to happen? I mean, watching deluded people get all excited over this. Like, everybody should just sit there. Trump comes in, or even Bernie Sanders, and he starts talking. Everybody just sits there quietly and observe him as if he's a nut, like it's a therapeutic situation, and just radiate silence to him, not cheer at different things. There's nothing that any of those guys say that I could cheer at. Who, I don't know who these nut people are cheering what he's saying. So what if everybody just gave these guys the silent treatment? Now, wouldn't that be fun? That would be like Trump after a while say, well, anybody have any questions? No, dead silence. And it wouldn't be, they're not trying to freeze him out. They just give him silence and see what he does.
Yeah.
Oh, but you couldn't get enough people to get on board doing that. But so people are absolutely insane and running around, you know, not thinking about what they're doing. Just for some reason they identify with the election process and like to gather in big crowds and take a guy who's saying something completely different from Hillary. So it's a sport. So this article is saying that these people are involved in a feeling. They give Bernie has one kind of feeling, Donald has another. So they just love wallowing in the feeling, and they're not worrying about how it's going to be worked out. How their jobs, you know, Trump's going to come in, then Trump's going to hear about me, then we're going to put him on the drops, and then he's going to have a press conference, say, okay, everybody in the pharmaceutical company's out of a job. We've solved all the chemical problems. All the pharmaceutical issues are solved. Any disease you got, we got it here. We got the solution. Then they'll be mad. All those people cheering him think he was going to give them a better life. No, he took away their jobs.
Yeah, I'm thinking Trump's issue's been just basically immigration, or mostly. So that's been his his largest, the most of his rhetoric has been about that, or a good portion of it. So
yeah, did you see the article? That's what it was about. There was three key words: trade, wall, and something else, or immigration, wall, and Texas,
yeah,
or something. 3 points, and then Bernie had 3 points, but. Look at all these people, these journalists have to go out there and make up stuff every day. They got to write a column, and they got to pretend there's some kind of significance. I'm looking at everybody as a huge conspiracy of information creation. That's the huge hypocrisy of our time, is that people think they have the right to fucking express themselves and to create ideas and then inflict them on everybody and then argue with other people. So there's what do they call the bubble, the class, the talking head class or something. There's some term for the millions of people in Washington who do all the information creation. Why do they think, if they just thought for 30 seconds about how absurd it is, that nobody's going to be able to take advantage of any information, if they thought that, they'd panic, and then they'd go back and just keep writing. So we're actually looking at billions of people are literally been driven insane by the information environment. And I know this because I've had the answer for 40 fucking years and nobody's paid attention to it, so I know it's not going to be ever listened to.
Yeah, that's a good point, though. I mean, you would think that somebody who would be your sort of your traditional, I don't know what you, sort of political type would see Trump as like as abhorrent, you know, like... for what he is, ridiculous and just sensational and not suited for politics, but you have this whole heated thing going on where he's in this meteoric rise to the presidency, which defies
and
sort of explanation.
Yeah.